Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. Today we're going to learn about the Free School in Albany, New York. Founded in 1969, the Free School is the longest-running inner-city independent alternative school in the United States. The school provides an alternative to traditional models of education by offering children a self-directed approach to their learning. We're joined by the Albany Free School director, Deirdre Kelly, and educator, EPIC program director, and Free School radio executive producer, Gerald Malcolm. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So, Deirdre, give me more of an overview of what the Albany Free School does than what I read in my little intro there.
So the Albany Free School definitely supports student voice and student choice. We're a school of about 34 students right now with four full-time staff. One thing we focus on is social and emotional development and learning, communication, and we also will put focus on core subjects, core curriculums, literacy, math, very important, but also is getting to know yourself, being able to problem solve, self-advocate, and be a part of the wider community that we all live in.
How long have you been there? How did you come to work at the Free School?
I've been working at the Free School a little over 10 years. I first became aware of the Free School while I was a college student at SUNY Albany. And then I began working there after my first son was born as part of the kitchen staff.
And how did you work your way toward becoming the director of the school?
I outgrew that over time by becoming the food service director and incorporating our garden program and visiting farms and doing a real farm-to-table, garden-to-table innovative program at the school. Then I moved out of the kitchen doing project-based classes around that, stayed in the kitchen a little bit doing baking and cooking classes that were really fundamental components that brought a lot of learning and joy to the students involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved into being a supporting staff teacher. Then I moved to being a lead teacher, then assistant director, and then the director.
So you've been a part of all of it.
Yes, I've been a part of a lot of it.
Great. So tell me more about what is special about the school and how you see the students flourish in this kind of alternative setting.
One thing I've always loved about the school is the amount of space the students can take up and how they can be their whole human selves with us every day. And every day we come to the table, to the school, with a fresh start and the confidence that they can have through learning through mistakes, learning hands-on, learning through projects, learning by spearheading their own classes, saying in one of our morning meetings that they want to learn about this subject or visit this place or anything along those lines, we will help facilitate and make that happen. Because there's a combination of student-led classes that students request that then either staff provides or we reach out to the wider community to provide. And then there's also just learning outside of the classroom, lots of field trips. We have all this freedom that other schools don't necessarily have, and so we really try and utilize it to give our students as many positive experiences as possible.
Could you tell me about one or two of the student-led classes, what they've been?
I'll just go with this year. So maybe I'll go back a little bit too, but for this year, most recently, we have an anime class that's being led by a student, and he's very passionate about it. And one of the things that was great about that is anime is a very broad topic, and so he had to work with a staff person to make sure that everything he was bringing to the table was completely appropriate for students in maybe 4th through 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So they worked together to plan the class. They came up with a little soundtrack, and they came up with talking points and learning points that he wanted to disseminate to his classmates that chose to do that class. Another class is slime making class. We might be one of the only schools that has an outlawed slime in the Capital District.
Yeah.
But that was an opportunity for this one particular student who, whether or not they only wanted to make slime, it became a really hands-on experiential science class. And so we learned about the properties of slime, Newtonian's laws of physics, measuring. So it's just this whole deeper understanding of science through slime making, which maybe some people have given up on. We almost did a couple times. And then just one more class this year that was great. It wasn't student-led, but it was student-inspired, where they wanted to do a blood class around Halloween. So it became a blood and bones class. So we've been running that class twice a week since the third week of September. And it's been this really awesome class, learning all about blood, where blood's made, how blood's made. If you don't have bones, where is your blood made? What are your bones? How do your bones work? And we're continuing that. And that's going to be an inquiry-based science class that we're using to spearhead throughout the entire year. The next thing they're interested in is DNA.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds great, though. I mean, it's like it's biology, but what they're interested in about biology right now.
Yeah, we're calling it inquiry-based science. And right now, yeah, it's biology.
Gerald Malcolm is also here. Gerald, tell me about your involvement with the Free School, please.
My involvement with the Free School, I was introduced. I am a DJ on one of the local radio stations and WCAA, and their affiliation with the Free School is incredible. One of the parents invited me to the Free School. I went down and met with Dee, and we decided to bring the program to the Free School. And what the program is it's an intro to radio broadcasting. Mm-hmm. So I bring the kids down and we talk about the history of broadcasting. We talk about what it takes to be a DJ, what it takes to do the research. And we have a weekly show that's on Thursdays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on 107.3. And also we're teaching the kids about news broadcasting as well.
How are they responding to it? Is it fun?
They are responding extremely well. And the good thing about this class is we have a couple students whose voices are buried deep. And it's so exciting to see their parents come in, and their parents are amazed. Like, I don't even have to talk to them. All I have to do is press play, and their parents can see and listen to their child speaking about some things that they weren't speaking about before. I think the good thing about the Free School is it provides these students with an opportunity to have these different classes, these amazing classes that this class isn't offered anywhere. And a lot of times the reason is because the schools don't have time, or the schools don't have the resources. So I think that the Free School and the radio station has been a great marriage.
What are some of the things that the students like to do for the radio show, they like to do in the radio class? What are they putting on the air?
Well, everybody has their different jobs. We have Beto, who is the engineer. So he's learning all about Audacity, and he loves to be on the board. He wants his own keyboard. Mm-hmm. We have Sadie and Atusa, who they really enjoy hosting, and they love asking questions. And then we have students like Izzy. She's trying to find her voice, and through this class, she's finding that she loves to interview. So everybody's finding something that they like about the radio station, and that's the good thing, is everyone doesn't have to be behind the mic, but within the radio station, there is a job for everyone. And so it's been a great experience.
You are also an EPIC program director. Tell me what that means, please.
Yes. EPIC is Educational, Professional, Individual, and Community. And I run this program at Imprint Universe, where we go to schools and we bring programs that focus on the educational part, that focus on developing different aspects of students. And some schools may want us to come in and do the radio. I've been asked to come into some schools and teach To Kill a Mockingbird at Albany High School, 10th grade honor. So we develop kids in a lot of different ways. And I really enjoy that we have the opportunity to come to the Free School and develop their voices.
Absolutely. Deirdre, you mentioned field trips and learning outside of the classroom. Tell me more about that.
We really try and utilize the Capital Region and the Greater Capital Region for field trips. We visit farms. We visited Soulfire Farm out in Grafton, New York. There's a wonderful farm in Kinderhook that we visited. We go to the Raddick Center once a week. with our preschool, and then we have older students who chaperone with them who are interested in being a part of that program. We've participated with the Underground Railroad. We've participated with the South End Children's Cafe. We go down to Trinity Institute once a week for their gym. And then wider than that, our junior high always goes on a end of the year class trip. And so a lot of their curriculum is based on where are they going to go? Why do they want to go? What's their fundraising plan? How are they going to, what are their goals? How are they going to meet those goals? And so they work with everything from making cold calls for donations of supplies for fundraisers to graphic design for our flyers to really old school hands-on outreach of staple gunning flyers to telephone poles. We've in the last few years, we've gone to Detroit and visited some of the amazing organizations out there that are reclaiming the land and having community farms and gardens that are truly community led. We went to Chicago, where there is a free school out there that was actually founded by one of our former interns. And we also, last year, were able to go to Puerto Rico, where there is a free school down there called Espacio A. And we've had a relationship with them for quite a while. This is the third trip that involved us visiting that school community. And students last year did an amazing job fundraising, so much outreach, so much community support, and they worked really, really hard. And they made it happen. Their goal, first day of school, was we want to go to Puerto Rico. And then, you know, the next 180 days, they worked really hard to make that happen.
They made it happen.
Yeah.
So the school was founded in 1969, which mm-hmm. means 2019 is a huge anniversary.
Yes. Yes. So we are in our 50th year. As a school. We're, like I think you mentioned in the beginning, longest running inner city democratic free school in the nation. Through our years of operation, we've inspired many schools to found themselves, to operate. We've had internship programs where people have come and learned and then gone off and started their own schools. And the joke whenever we meet someone who's local to Albany is they're, oh, I never heard of you. Well, I guess we're Albany's best kept secret. with 50 years of being around, it's kind of amazing how well known we're not. And part of that has to do with our focus is really on the students and our immediate neighborhood and community and meeting our students' needs and being a positive force in our actual physical mansion neighborhood South End community, where we will not necessarily come to shows like this or have the outreach that reaches wider audiences.
You hear a lot about teaching to the test, which is you're doing the opposite at mm-hmm. your school. When the kids graduate, though, do they still take Regents exams and the SATs, or how does it line up with a mainstream school curriculum?
So our school goes to eighth grade, and so when they transfer out into high school, they do different things. We have a really good relationship with Buxton School, which is another private school. We have students that end up there, and then most of our students end up in their local public high schools or charter schools that are in the area. And they're really successful across the board. I mean, it's just like any other. It's like individual students do well or don't do well, depending on a multitude of reasons. One thing that I hear a lot from students coming back to visit, when I ask those questions, whenever a student comes back, I ask those questions. And they say, it was okay. It wasn't. They either say it was super easy, it wasn't that bad, or it was a little hard, but I asked for help. Because one thing about student voice is that they are able to advocate for themselves. So if there's anything that they're lacking, which any eighth grader
yeah.
is going to go into high school unsure of something.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we always hear is, but I was able to ask for what I needed. And another really amazing thing is that specifically our relationship with Albany High, when students are leaving eighth grade and going into that school, when they're building their schedules with those counselors, the questions are more, well, what do you think you'd like to take? Not based on your test scores and your grades coming into our school, this is what we think you should take.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they don't have, well, they don't have any of the test scores. So it's like, would you like to take honors English? Would you like to take honors Spanish? I see that you've taken Spanish. Would you like You know, they get to advocate for themselves as early as making their schedules first time.
Deirdre Kelly and Gerald Malcolm, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. Seymour possibilities, Seymour promise, Seymour progress.